Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 and hello all my favorite people in the world. Whoever you are listening, you're my favorite folks. I am Randy Dean, alive to love. No BS Bishop is who I am. I believe all lesser values than love are total BS. Whatever else you may think BS is, I'm talking about it in the context of bait and switch. Let's not be baiting people in, then switching the topic to our agenda. Let's just love purely, beautifully, and no more BS. So I want you to get comfortable. I want you to find a nice spot. Maybe you're driving, listening on your phone or device. You can be comfortable there too. But I do want you to tune in today to the disruptive power of love. That's my subject. The disruptive power of love. Love disrupts the ordinary. It shakes up the routine. And that's why I've been here for 5 years now, loving doing this project, Alive to Love. So let me get us started off on the right foot with Love's Creed, a little something I wrote that I offer to you here week in and week out. It calls us to an attention, and I want you to be as attentive as you know how and say this with me like you would a creed in church. So here we go. I'll give it to you one time in full, then we'll come back and I'll offer to you in portions. Here we go. In total, I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I am alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, work with me on it. I'll go through it and give it to you in little chunks, and then you repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I am an aficionado of this creed, partly because it's one I wrote and I've edited for the years, but there's just a ton of practical truth in there, something to apply every day of my life. So if you'd like a copy, give me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, all lowercase, at gmail. Send me an email. I won't bait and switch you. I won't BS you. I would be happy to serve you with a copy of Love's Creed. Now, let's together say the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the most prayed prayer in human history, a prayer of significant simplicity and audacious complexity. Let's say together the prayer that Christ taught us to pray. And if you don't know it, just let me carry you along. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There's a prayer for you that will give you a sense of connectivity to the divine entrepreneurial genius of the God of love. God's entrepreneurial capacity is unlimited. So for us mere humans here, looking up at this magnificent complexity we call God, how do we dare pray in any way that we think is going to instruct this divine genius? It's better that we just hang on to the simplicity of something like the Lord's Prayer. And of course, we should pray many other things as well, unloading our hearts or crying out for grief or exulting in joy, whatever the case might be in between grief and joy, just say it. But when it comes to having something deeply solid to hang on to, my go-to is the Lord's Prayer. And I know many of you are the same way. Just talked to somebody yesterday who said, I just put myself to sleep sometimes just whispering the Our Father. There's just something so good about that. So I started this broadcast off by telling you we were going to talk about the disruptive power of love. It is disruptive. Sometimes I wonder if we realize that we haven't exercised love in the way that it's really been offered to us, that might just well be disruptive to the ordinary, to the common, to the bland, to the mediocre, to the lukewarm. Heard a guy pray one time at the Texas legislature. He said, Lord, remind us today that only the mediocre are always at their best. And he was right. It was a one-sentence prayer, actually a sentence and a half, I guess. And he just sat down, and the legislature there in Texas was in stunned silence. That idea that mediocrity is what we should land on is foreign to, as I said a moment ago, mediocrity is foreign to the genius of the divine entrepreneur we call God. God is not mediocre. God is not milquetoast. God is not lukewarm. In fact, it says that God is a all-consuming fire, not a fire of retribution, not a fire of misery and anger, but a fire of love. A fire of love, a love that will purify and sort out the wheat from the chaff, a fire that will lift us above the coldness of normal human activities to something so much more satisfying, so much more relatable to honest-to-goodness happiness and joy. So I do believe love is disruptive. I believe it. I've seen it happen. At the end of every broadcast, I lead people in the exercise of saying the three most holy, enchanted, magical, beautiful, charming words in the human language. And those three words are, I love you. Say it just like that. Don't make it one word. Give it the full intention of three words. I love you. Now, wherever you say that, to whomever you will say that, it's startling. I've watched people's eyes just about spin right out of their eye sockets. I've seen people blink, 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 and stumble and look at the ground and sort of, I love you too. I'm not saying that everybody should have the same kind of capacity that I do. I've been practicing this for some time. But I've recognized in that because we aren't exercising this beautiful power of love as often as we could or should, it is startling. It's disruptive. And I don't want to make the absence of love or the absence of the statement of our love, I don't want to normalize that. I want to normalize, I love you. Let's normalize that. Hate's been normalized, right? Racism's been normalized, right? Bigotry's been normalized, right? How about we normalize the power of disruptive love? How about we carry love in a way that makes people quiver a bit and think about what just happened? What did you just say to me? I've told this story before. I'll tell it one more time just for the sake of illustration. When I was about 18, somewhere between 18 and 19, my dad was seriously ill in the hospital, and he called me up to the hospital room alone to be with him, which was very unusual for my dad and me. And I went up to see him, and he had been on a deathbed, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, "I realize that in all your life, I've never told you that I love you." Now, I tell that as an illustration. You can imagine, as an 18, 19-year-old kid who'd never heard that from his father, I was startled. It was a little mixture of angry. I was a little mixture of about to cry, burst out in tears. I was everything all at once. And it was that way because the absence of saying "I love you" had been normalized in my home, in my family. And that was a tragedy that I've spent all my life unpacking, making sure that I'm not normalizing the absence of just at least saying "I love you," at the very least. Now, and I know people will say, "Oh, you have to do more than just say it." I get it. Of course I get it. I've had 5 years worth of curriculum here to tell you, listen to me carefully. I get it. This needs to be studied and added to some kind of statistician's examination. Brené Brown's written The Atlas of the Heart. She's written beautiful, beautiful summaries of love and what it means and what it doesn't mean. So to that end, may we each one spend a large portion of our life exploring love and then finding out how can I disrupt the normal bigotry, hatred, miseries that are going on in our world. How can I take love into those dark spaces and just cut through the BS? Cut through the nonsense, cut through the silliness of shallow living, the silliness of lukewarm living. You know, there's a Bible verse that says, God says, "You're lukewarm. I just want to vomit you out of my mouth. That the taste is terrible." To that end, we're living in a world where the taste of lukewarm behaviors toward one another is suffocating. And, you know, substance abuse agency SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Agency. I better quit trying to say it. It's SAMHSA. It's a federal agency, tells us that we're living in a time of serious mental health challenges. I'm proposing, as a normal human being out here with 50 years of pastoral work, I'm proposing that love is the prescription for the disease that's eating us alive. Love is the prescription we are all in need of having several doses of every day so that the disease of tearing people down can be eradicated. Lovelessness is a cancer that's killing off humanity. That's why we have wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said one place in the Gospels, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. And some folks have mistakenly taken that as some kind of prophetic ironclad, this is going to happen and then everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket. I disagree with that. I don't think that's at all what Jesus was talking about. I think Jesus was warning that you're going to just have constant wars and rumors of wars, and then the end will come. Well, the end of what? Well, the end of normalcy, the end of what you thought was the regular way of carrying on. Well, and we need an end of the regular way of carrying on. The end of passive human relationships. We need the end of aggressive human relationships that are passive aggressive. We need the end of human relationships that are loveless and make them loveful. Now, be warned. According to the subject at hand today, love is disruptive at that context. It will bring people to a point of confusion and even outright rejection. As I said, as an 18, 19-year-old boy, I there was a little mix of anger in me that said, "Well, yeah, golly, Dad, you never said I love you all my life." I fortunately for me, I stifled that anger, but but it was in there. You'll find people responding with some touch of anger, some touch of confusion. It's unnerving. It's unsettling. It's disruptive. That's what I'm at today. Now, I've quoted something here quite often from an Episcopal priest by the name of Barbara Brown Taylor, and I'm going to give it this quote today, too, because it is so applicable to what I'm saying. The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love the neighbor as the self, to encounter another human being not as someone to fix, change, use, help, save, enroll, convince, or control, but simply as someone who can spring you, that would be you and me, from the prison of yourself if you will allow it. Now, that's Barbara Brown Taylor, fantastic little nugget of gold in a quote there. But I want to add this. I think we need to keep in mind that fix, manage, control, recruit, enlist, convert, enroll, convince, entice, examine, convince, I'm repeating myself, entice, advise, save, use, help. These are not behaviors related to healthy spirituality, not at all. These are codependency traits. And codependency would come under SAMHSA's substance abuse agency administration. It would come under their category of one of the deep mental health challenges of our nation. Codependency is defined simply as somebody's about to die and you're codependent. It's not your life that flashes before your eyes, but somebody else's life flashes before your eyes because you've been far too busy living your life for them and not for your own significant foundational health. So being a lover and not codependent, loving drags us out of codependency and gives us a reason to be beyond just throwing ourselves at people's problems and needs and being consumed by it. So maintaining the practice of love and then raising that to a spiritual practice will keep us from, especially us religious folks. Now, listen to me carefully. I got a sneeze coming, so I might mute. But it raises us religious folks. I gesundheited myself. It raises us religious folks out of an unhealthy sickness called codependency. Our call is to simply yet profoundly love people. I've said it this way, love the hell out of them. Well, frankly, love the hell out of yourself. Because as you love, the machinations and miseries of hell get exited. They get ostracized. They get cast out. This is the demonic power of lovelessness. And I use the word demonic as in a careful manner because I'm not looking for little odd creatures running around with bloody eyes and long fingernails scratching and grabbing us. I think demon behaviors are just those internal miseries in us that we accommodate. I think that's what we need to have an exorcism from. We need an exorcist. Hey, how about me being your exorcist? Here's how you get exorcised from those little demonic features. Love. And love will crowd out those dark little imps that are tearing your life apart. Love somebody else. When you wake up in the night and you feel that sense of hopelessness, I want to challenge you to love somebody, somewhere, somehow, even if it is to lay there in bed and contemplate, how am I loving someone, something beyond myself, rather than laying there with the dreadful heaviness of feeling like nobody loves me. You see, my story, too, is encapsulated in the fact that I was trapped in feeling unloved. Nobody loves me is an exact quote from me when I was a teenager, banging my head into a wall. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. Well, I was trapped. And if you will, it was a demonic trap on me. It was this impish little lie that I had bought into and sealed up in my soul and mind. And I was trapped in this feeling of, I need love, I need love, I need love. And I was right, but it became such an unhealthy, mentally unhealthy thing that it was killing me. And I needed that breakthrough that my dad started when he said, I realize I haven't said I love you. So now I'm inviting you, be that person, like my dad was in that hospital room. Be that person. Say it to somebody and say it with real, connected authenticity. Say it slow. Savor it. Disrupt the moment. Disrupt the average. And guess what? Not only will you spring that person from a prison, more importantly, you'll spring yourself from the prison of yourself. You'll break out of the little corner that you've built, that you've meditated yourself into in a negative way. Barbara Brown Taylor's quote here is that it will simply spring you from the prison of yourself if you will allow it to do this hard spiritual work. And yes, it is hard spiritual work. It is not easy. If I've said it once here, I've said it 10,000 times. It's a marathon. It's a mountain climb. It's a pilgrimage. It's not a once-for-all gig. You don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I like Randy Dean. He's alive to love. I think I'll just do that. There we go. Problem solved. No, it does not work that way, sweet child of mine. It works because you work and you labor at it. Well, you say, well, I don't believe in works will save you. I believe in the salvation of Christ. Well, I do too. I believe in the salvation of Jesus as he died for all humanity 2,000 years ago. But I believe that in that salvation, we are to work out our salvation with determined sensibility of gratitude that our salvation is expressed and enlarged as we love. Jesus himself said, and by this will all people know you are my disciples indeed if you have love for one another. And the one another means beyond your little tight little happy little group where you're all secure and happy and you keep all the bad people out. No, he's talking about one another as in all humanity. Love one another. Let's break this prison thing wide open. Let's have ourselves a prison break from the selfishness and the mean-spirited behaviors, the bullying, the idea that I'm right, you're wrong, shut up, sit down, let's talk. That stupidity, that ignorance is killing us. Now let's disrupt the world, shall we? Let's disrupt the systems that we're walking into and walking around. Let's disrupt it with attentive, unselfish, genuine love. Going past saying those three charming, magical words, living those three holy, magical words, living them with this, I cannot live any less than this. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain because I'm alive with plans, dreams, designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. There's the creed again. May our living disrupt the cauldrons, the dungeons, and the dark corners of hate and greed and codependency. May the love we bring to a room light that room up and cause people to say, whoa, the atmosphere just changed. All right, well, those are key words that bring me to the close. And as we close, I just want you to know, Mother Teresa says, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Now, in order for us to do that, one thing we should do very routinely and regularly is breathe well. Now, on the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you're able. Set up as straight as you know how and be completely focused on breathing for just a few moments. On the count of three, breathe in. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it right there. And exhale. That simple practice is physiologically inspiring to light up your brain synapses, to light up your blood flow in your body. Get your body a little more oxygen to the extremities, down to your little toe and up to your scalp where your hair follicles are hanging on for dear life. Now let's also, as we are breathing well, let's strategize saying the three most magical, holy, charming, disruptive words in the human language. I love you. My plan, my hope, my desire, can't guarantee it'll happen, but it's at least a goal, is that on my last breath, when I'm passing from this one veil of life to the next, if I'm with somebody to see, well, actually, if nobody's there, I want the last three words that pass through my lips, the oxygen in my lungs, to push out those three words, maybe to a doctor, maybe to a nurse, maybe to a stranger. Hopefully it'll be family that I can leave a legacy of saying, I love you. I want you to find somebody, look them straight in the eye. I almost said dead in the eye. No, look them living in the eye and say, I love you. Yes, it's disruptive. Yes, it's startling. But yes, it is absolutely necessary for our society today. The Beatles were right, baby. All we need is love. That's what we need. And we need it practiced, demonstrated, spoken, lived out in 10,000 ways, carried out in little ways and big ways, so that we remember in this life, one of the biggest mistakes we make is thinking we still have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Don't wait. Don't be trapped in a holding pattern thinking there'll come a time and I'll do this. No. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. I feel like I should just repeat Barbara Brown Taylor's quote one more time. I can feel somebody asking, what was that again? Barbara Brown Taylor, an Episcopal priest, said, the hardest spiritual work in the world is to love the neighbor as the self, to encounter another human being not as someone to fix, change, use, help, save, enroll, convince, or control, but simply as someone who can spring you from the prison of yourself, if you will allow it. So how about today? Let's allow the power of love, a disruptive opening to a whole new world around us. I'm recording this in the week of Thanksgiving. How about our Thanksgiving gatherings be punctuated with this thunderous disruption of love? Going into the Advent and then later Christmas, how about the power of love be this disruptive, beautiful, holy atmosphere? All right, I gotta go. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and I'm alive to love because I believe lesser values are simply bait and switch or BS. Let's arise and shine with the power of love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.